one of his letters, Peter uses some really graphic image, paints a very ugly picture, talks about a dog returning to his vomit, talks about a recently washed sow going back and wallowing again in the mud. And he's trying to get us to get a picture of how awful it is when a believer wanders away from God. I'm afraid too many times we don't have that concept as much as we should. And I think if we're honest, we have to admit that, you know, it's not that difficult a thing to do to fall away. There are times when life can be very, very discouraging, when we can have tremendous difficulties, and just at that time the world can be awful alluring, can be awful appealing. We get mesmerized by the glitz and the glamour, and we finally wake up to realize, you know, I'm miles away from God. Miles away from God. Have you ever wandered? I think probably most of us would have to say yes. At least for a while. At some difficult point in our life. But the big question is, are you back? If you are, I'm so glad you're home. So glad to have you here. But the sad news is not everyone has come back. I'm quite sure that every one of us know Christians who've wandered away, who've gone back to wallow in their mire, gone back to eat their vomit. Isn't that an ugly picture? What a terrible thing. James closes his letter to us with an encouragement. An encouragement for us to do whatever we can for these folks that have wandered away. He says in James 5, verses 19 and 20, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death." Save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. You may not be a preacher. I guess probably Andy and I are the only two in here. But I want you to know, and I want you to understand, that you don't have to serve God in any official sense for this passage to apply to you. Every one of you, male, female, young, old, it doesn't matter. There are some simple things that we can do to be obedient to this passage. I'd like to list just a couple tonight. Hopefully it causes us to think. Number one, we can sit down and make a list of believers that we know who've wandered away from God. Make a list. Perhaps it's a family member. Maybe it's a former co-worker or neighbor. Somebody that used to attend here or another congregation that you know of. Probably if you really sat down and thought about it, you could come up with 100. But I'm suggesting you come up with 10. Just 10. And put their names down on a piece of paper right in front of you. Then the second thing that I'm suggesting that we do is pray for them. I mean, pray for them. Pray that God through His Spirit will work in their hearts and move them to repentance. Not just starting to attend again. I'm talking about move them to repentance. Ask God to orchestrate events in their life so that they can see the situation that they're in and how it will end in destruction. How it will end. Ask God to open a door for you to walk through. Ask God to allow you to speak an encouraging word in a discouraging world. Number three, take one little baby step. Just a little one. Let God use you to work His will in their life. It may be something as simple as, how you doing today? It may be something as simple as a text to them or an email. I'm not even saying you've got to get in their face. You can do it from a distance. But we need to let them know we care. It could be a phone call. Everybody likes to get handwritten encouraging notes. Could be any number of things. Could be a Facebook post. Some way that we can do something. And there's nobody who can't do something. Nobody. I think we undersell ourselves. I think we put ourselves down. We assume all the serious work will be done by guys like me behind the pulpit. Not going to happen. There's not enough of me to go around. And I don't have near the influence in your sphere of friends that you do. If I understand James correctly, he's saying average, everyday believers can have an enormous effect on somebody's soul. You can have an enormous effect on somebody's soul. It's incredible to think about. I can, you can, save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Isn't that incredible? I mean, wow. So today, tonight, before you go to bed, sit down and make your list and say a prayer for each one by name and then do something. Initiate a contact with at least one. Start and see what God can do. I think we'll be amazed. We serve a powerful God. And we're to be His hands and His feet and His eyes and His mouth. We can handicap and we can cripple God and the Holy Spirit by our refusal to do what He wants done. So I'm asking for some pretty serious self-examination tonight. If you see one who wanders from the truth, please be that someone who turns them back. Recognize the importance of what we do. You're looking for an excuse to get on Facebook anyway. Send a message to someone. And let God, through His immense power, use you to save a soul from death. And let God use you to cover a multitude of sins. Question we need to ask ourselves, have we wandered from the truth? Have we been faithful? Because it's not good enough to just come back in and start worshiping again. We need to repent. We need to acknowledge the wrong that we have done. And we need to ask for forgiveness. Can we help you do that? If you need help in any way, please give us that opportunity and do it right now while we stand and sing.